time again. Time to throw cares away, not let the world bother you, and enjoy an hour of the Catholic Answers game show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host.
Final Judgment.
This hour, you prefer Final Judgment.
Yeah, that's the name of the show.
As the name of the show, yes.
Because it's the name of the final round. And so
we'll just go with Final Judgment?
Yeah.
That will make Tom Nash very happy.
Uh-huh.
Because it was his idea.
Oh, cool.
I mean, he wanted the whole show to be.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. Fair enough. Our guest, you've probably already guessed from the sound of his voice, our super secret celebrity guest is Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, author of many things, some of which we're hoping to give away today.
Oh, cool.
Among them, Teaching with Authority, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says, Jimmy's latest book.
Cool.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey.
Are you ready for a little game action?
To quote SpongeBob SquarePants, I'm ready.
You know what? You have a lot of sources that you draw from.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know that you draw from SpongeBob as well, a little Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a big cartoon fan.
Are you?
Big animation fan.
Yeah.
Well, always have been.
The thing about cartoons is they're tiny. They're toony.
They're all a little loony.
There we go. Okay. Let us meet our two contestants for the show, vying for a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. First, we go to contestant number one. Henry, are you there with us, Henry?
Yes, sir, I am. Hello.
And where are you from, and what's interesting about you?
I'm from Lakewood, California. I'm a catechist. I'm a member of Couples for Christ, a group that came from the Philippines. The most notable thing I would say is what happened last week. I got to meet you at Congress last Friday.
Oh, Henry, you were at the LA Religious Ed Congress. That is certainly not the most interesting thing about you. Of all those things you listed, that's a lot of wonderful stuff. But I'm glad we got to meet.
It's interesting
thank you.
It's interesting how folks sometimes refer to the LA Religious Ed Congress just as Congress.
Oh, yeah.
I got an email last week from someone asking me, are you going to be at Congress? And I was like, no, but I could meet you at the Senate.
Right. Henry, delighted to have you with us. And our contestant number two is Valerie. Valerie, are you there with us?
Yes. Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Valerie. Where are you from?
I'm from Oak Park, California, and I'm a member of I go to the St. Maximilian Kolbe Parish. I was born and raised Jewish, and I was baptized 3 years ago through the RCIA program, and I've now been in the choir for 3 years.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome. We have two very interesting contestants today.
I'm interested by where they're from. They're both from California, but then one is from Lakewood, and the other is from Oak Park. And, of course,
Oakwood and Lake Park.
Yeah, it's like,
wow.
Oakwood comes from oaks. Is like there a connection there?
I don't know.
And there are often lakes and parks.
Maybe that was
because humans like to
producer.
Recreate the savanna-like environment of our ancestors.
Yes. It's very comforting to me to live as if I were Australopithecus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reason that you are contestant number one, Henry, and Valerie, you are contestant number two, is that your names were drawn out of the hat in that order by assistant producer Marie. So I will explain as I go over the rules what that means, that one of you is contestant number one and one of you is contestant number two. Are you ready for the rules?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. Catholic Answers, the game show goes in three rounds. The first round and the second round both involve three multiple choice questions for each of you. So in round one, Henry will get three multiple choice questions and Valerie will get three multiple choice questions. In round two, the same. Round three, only one of you will go on. The winner of rounds one and two put together goes on to round three. And round three is seven true or false questions. In rounds one and two, you each get two lifelines. Once the lifeline is used, whether you use it in round one or two, it is gone. It is off the table. You can no longer use it. The first one is you can simply ask Jimmy to give you the answer. However, he must give the answer in Pig Latin. The other lifeline is you can ask Jimmy to take one of the incorrect answers away, so you'll be left with a 50-50 chance. All clear?
Yeah. All way ear clay.
Okay.
Ea igs be ig pay at and lay.
Oh, he's been practicing. Jimmy's been practicing pray.
No.
No? You're just good at it?
Just did that.
Okay. There's one other rule. The one and two thing. So contestant number one will always – the question will go first, and the contestant number two, the question goes second. And in the event of a tie, contestant number one will pick between box A and box B, and that box will tell us who is going on to the final judgment. Are you ready, contestants?
And hopefully that won't be necessary because the boxes are up on the shelf.
We're going to have a break between now and then, so I can get over it because I forgot to get the boxes down. Thank you for pointing that out. For the viewers at home, that's why the boxes are not out on the desk. All right, contestant number one, Henry, your first question is the following. Henry, what does the word Messiah mean? A, Holy One. B, Anointed One. C, Lord of Hosts. Once again, that's what does the word Messiah mean? A, Holy One. B, Anointed One. And C, Lord of Hosts.
I would say B, Anointed One.
Anointed One is correct, yeah. Both Mashiach, which is actually the Aramaic form that they would have used, and Christos, the Greek form in the New Testament, both mean Anointed One. What I think would make an even more interesting question that fewer people would know is what does Lord of Hosts mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
should we save that or can you tell me?
I can tell you. I'm not going to leave people in indefinite suspense. So,
can I guess? Or
yeah, well, there's two things to guess here. What is Lord in this case and what is Hosts in this case?
Okay, I don't want to guess then.
Okay.
It's too hard for
me. Well, Lord is often used as an English substitute for Yahweh.
Oh, okay.
And hosts, in this case, host does not refer to the consecrated, body of Christ at Mass. It instead refers to an army. And so it's Yahweh of armies. So like he's a great, powerful God with armies of angels and directing the fates of human armies, the army of Israel.
So you are one for one there, Henry. Valerie, your turn. But I forgot to encourage the listener, please play along at home. You are welcome to play it along at home.
Yeah. And to help that out, it's helpful if the contestants let you read both questions twice and slowly.
Yeah.
Even if they know the answer, to just wait a little bit so the other folks can have the fun of playing too.
Yeah, don't just shoot that answer out right away. Let the folks at home have their chance. Valerie, your first question. What is the name of the author of the letter to the Romans? A, that is unknown. B, Peter. C, Paul. Again, what is the name of the author of the letter to the Romans? A, unknown. B, Peter. C, Paul.
I believe that would be C, Paul.
Paul is correct, yes. In fact, it's his longest letter, which is why it's first, because in the New Testament, Paul's letters are organized in descending order of size. So Romans is the biggest, it is the longest, and it's also frighteningly long for an ancient letter. Most ancient letters were only a page long. And so really only letters like 2nd and 3rd John and Jude are normal length for an ancient letter. So you can only imagine what the Romans must have thought when they got this letter, when the courier brought it to them. And it's like
– like the Mueller report.
It's like 50 times the length of a normal ancient letter.
Wow.
And he had never even visited Rome at that point.
So why was he writing to the Romans? He wasn't the Pope.
He was planning on going there.
Oh, he was getting ready to go there. Was Peter there yet?
Based on our best estimate, Peter had been there for some time, but he may not have been obviously in Rome on the day the letter arrived.
I gotcha.
But there's also a reference where Paul is explaining why he hasn't yet come to Rome. And he says he's avoided territories where other people have been working lest he build on another man's foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And that would suggest there was another man who had been evangelizing in Rome.
Mm-hmm. The mystery thickens. Your second question, contestant number one, Henry. A priest is A, a prophet. B, a minister of divine worship and sacrifice. C, either a monk or a mendicant. Once again, a priest is A, a prophet. B, a minister of divine worship and sacrifice. Or C, either a monk or a mendicant.
Can I get my answer from...
from Jimmy?
Jimmy in Igpe Atenle.
Okay.
Igpe Atenle.
A.A. Ispre Ise, A.A. Inister Me Ove Ivinde Urship A. in a acrifice say.
Did that help you?
S-E-A.
Oh, and so your choice is?
eBay.
eBay is correct, yes. A priest is a minister of divine worship and sacrifice.
And that's not just a Catholic priest. Any priest is a minister of divine worship and sacrifice.
Typically, yes, cross-religiously, okay. Because sacrifice and worship are human universals. In terms of a priest is not always a prophet, though.
Mm-hmm.
A prophet may be a priest, as in the case of Ezekiel. For example, he was both a priest and a prophet, but not all priests are prophets. And then also, priests don't have to be monks, and they don't have to be mendicants. Michaelet, what is a mendicant?
A mendicant is a beggar, basically, a poor beggar.
Yeah, a beggar. So, yeah. So
Saint Francis.
Mendicants are members of religious orders that depend entirely on others for their support. And if you ever read the Sergio Arganes comic, Gru the Wanderer, one of the things that he could be most insulted by was being called a mendicant.
I'm a little offended you think I haven't read Gru the Wanderer by
It was a great comic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. Your second question,
he
Valerie.
He was also surprised when he found out what a eunuch was.
Weren't we all? Valerie, your question. A secular priest is A, not a member of the Catholic clergy. B, an ordained member of the clergy who is not a member of a religious order. Or C, a priest who has been removed from office. Once again, Valerie, your question. A secular priest is A, not a member of the Catholic clergy. B, an ordained member of the clergy who is not a member of a religious order. Or C, a priest who has been removed from office.
I'd like that in pig Latin as well.
Oh, man. This is mean.
A, ecular say, east pray, ise, in a, dandore, ember me, ove, ethe, urgi clay, uhe, ise, atne, a, ember me, ove, a, ligis re, order a.
Does that help you, Valerie?
Yeah.
So it is.
Can I have it in the regular way so I can decipher that?
Yeah. A, not a member of the Catholic clergy. B, an ordained member of the Catholic clergy who is not a member of a religious order. A, or C, a priest who has been removed from office.
I think it would be B if I remember.
You
B,
are correct.
Yes, that's correct. And this is kind of a trickily worded question because if you hear the word secular and priest put together, you might think, ooh, well, Catholic priests are supposed to be holy, not secular. So it might be a non-Catholic priest.
Right.
And then also maybe a defrocked priest would be secular because he'd been ejected from the clerical state. So it could be ex-priest. But no, the term secular here means worldly. I mean, that's what secular means, is worldly. And these priests are worldly, not in the sense that it's okay for them not to be holy priests, but in the sense they're not under religious vows. So instead of living in a religious community like a monastery, they're living in the world, and thus they're secular priests, also frequently called diocesan priests.
Henry and Valerie, we're all tied up at two apiece. Thank you both for making Jimmy do the pig Latin on really long answers, like all pay.
Now I don't have to do it again.
Yeah, you did very well too. Hey, we got a free ebook for you, Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History, and the Church. You just visit the Catholic Answers Facebook page right now and download your free copy of this new ebook, Cleansing Fire, Purgatory in Scripture, History, and the Church.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I went to Las Vegas years and years ago for one of these cable shows. And I was shocked to see all these old ladies in their 70s and 80s getting off that plane, running for a slot machine. You don't have a chance to win. They're all fixed. I know. My uncle used to have slot machines.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Live game show, now approaching towards being officially named Final Judgment, because the last round is your Final Judgment.
I said it should have been called Final Judgment from the beginning.
We had some disagreement in the office, however, and I cannot remember who the disagreeing parties were.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm willing to go along with it, but it's
well, if you want to clarify, like on the schedule, that it's a game show, you could say Final Judgment game show.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Because if you put Final Judgment on the calendar,
yeah,
and then
somebody's going to think it's eschatology day.
Yeah, or they're going to think, man, I better get over to confession before.
Which is not a bad idea.
No,
anyway.
Not a bad idea. Henry is contestant number one. Valerie is contestant number two. We are tied at two apiece.
By
Henry,
the way, do I get to say hello to the guests? I mean,
oh,
you said
I
hello
apologize.
To them.
Apologize. I never let you say hello to the guests.
Well,
but yeah,
I don't
you
know
do.
About never, but
you,
but
you do. Would
today,
you like to say hello to Henry?
Yes,
say hello
please.
To go ahead, Henry.
Hey, Henry, welcome to the show about 16 minutes into it. And also, welcome Valerie.
Hi. Thank you.
There we go.
Boy, that was a thrill for them.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was burning off my chest, though.
Okay.
It's like, I don't want to
Henry,
come across
third...
as rude to the guests.
Sorry. I apologize, Jimmy. Henry, your third question. In Luke's gospel, who says these words? If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Was that A, Peter, B, Jesus, or C, Abraham? Once again, in Luke's gospel, someone says these words. Who is it? If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Was that A, Peter, B, Jesus, or C, Abraham?
And we should make it clear that we're talking about the figure to whom they are most directly attributed here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Peter, Jesus or Abraham? I will have to say Abraham.
Abraham is correct.
I am
good.
So proud of you. Henry, just out of curiosity, do you know the story? Why is Abraham even in the New Testament?
Why is he Henry? Saying stuff in the Gospels?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I just want to know if you know, or did you just guess?
I remember that story.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah,
so, Jimmy?
It's the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. So Lazarus dies, the rich man dies. They go to their fates, and then you have this afterlife conversation where the rich man is asking Abraham to send Lazarus, the beggar, back to warn his brothers so that they can repent. And Abraham says, hey, even if someone came back from the dead, that wouldn't cause them to repent if they're not listening to Moses and the prophets, which is like a meta-textual irony thing because—
It's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament.
Yeah, because it's Jesus, both Lazarus, and the real Lazarus, and Jesus came back from the dead,
yeah.
And it didn't cause the folks who needed to repent. But because this is a parable told by Jesus— At the last minute, I remember Jesus could also be an acceptable answer if we didn't clarify
way. I tried so hard to word it like that, but every way I did was clunky and Nick would have been mad at me because he's like, just make the questions clear. And I'm not picking on you, Nick. It's very helpful when you fuss at me. But all right, we better go to Valerie's third question. It's 3-2 right now. Valerie, in whose letter do we find this quote? Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Is that A, John, B, Peter, or C, Paul? In whose letter do we find this quote? Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Is that A, John, B, Peter, C, Paul?
Peter.
Peter is correct. Yep, absolutely. That's in 1 Peter.
Look at
fact, if memory serves, it's 1 Peter 3:21.
Wow.
And it's a nice apologetics verse.
I was going to say.
Because the word that's used for answer in that verse is related to the word for apologetics.
And we're Catholic Answers.
Yeah.
So that's our go-to
quote
right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're tied up 3-3 after one round. We now move to round two. Each of you has one lifeline left, and the lifeline is the same for both of you. You can ask Jimmy to eliminate one wrong answer on any of your three questions as we go forward. Your first question of round two, Henry, what is a triduum? A, 3 days of prayer that usually precedes a feast, most especially Easter. B, the 3 days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Or C, any three non-contiguous days of fasting and abstinence. Once again, the question is, what is a triduum? A, 3 days of prayer that usually precede a feast, most especially Easter. Or B, the three days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. Or C, any three non-contiguous days of fasting and abstinence.
I'm wavering between A and B, so I'd like a lifeline, please.
Okay, I will eliminate the wrong answer. It is not the 3 days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday.
So you are left with A or C?
I will say A.
A is correct. Yes. Yes.
Very good.
And the reason it's not, the most famous triduum is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, but not Easter Sunday. That right. falls after it because the most famous triduum precedes Easter.
Nicely done. And Jimmy, I wasn't sure if I saw a mischievous look in your eye because you could have taken away C.
I could have taken C.
And then he'd be left with the same problem.
But I didn't want to be mean.
Good for you, Jimmy. Okay, Valerie, your first question of round two. Which of the following is not said by Jesus in the Bible? A, give to everyone who asks of you. B, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Or C, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Once again, which of the following is not said by Jesus in the Bible? A, give to everyone who asks of you. B, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Or C, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all.
I'd like another lifeline.
Okay, fair. So Jimmy's going to eliminate one wrong answer
okay,
for
but
you.
To put this on an equal footing, since Henry told me which
two
he was wavering between,
right.
If you have two that you're wavering between, tell me what those two are, and I will eliminate one that is incorrect.
I think I'm wavering between A and B.
Okay. Let me think about this for a second, because the way the question is worded, you're supposed to guess which is not said by Jesus in the Bible.
Right, so
to eliminate an answer, I'll tell you one that is said by Jesus in the Bible.
Right.
Okay. Jesus does in fact say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And in fact, I have a coin. So Tiberius Caesar was the Caesar at the time, and we know the kind of coin, and I have a replica of it at home.
Nice. Okay, so your choices are Jesus either – one of these two he didn't say. Which one did he not say? Either he did not say, give to everyone who asks of you, or he did not say, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
Jesus actually did say, give to everyone who asks of you. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. The one he didn't say is, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The person who said that was John. He says that in his first epistle.
I'm sorry about that one, but we got two more questions to go. So
yeah.
there's still
hope. In the game.
Henry, your second question of round two. And by the way, everybody's lifelines are gone. You're on your own now. Henry, on Good Friday, A, God turns his back on Jesus so that we can be saved. B, Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice of love for our salvation. Or C, both A and B. Once again, I'll give you that question again. On Good Friday, A, God turns his back on Jesus so that we can be saved. B, Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice of love for our salvation. Or C, both A and B.
I would have to say B.
B is correct. Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice of love for our salvation.
Well, I can Why doesn't God turn his back on Jesus? Is that even possible?
Well, it depends on the sense in which you mean the term. It's not literally possible for him to do that, mm-hmm. and Scripture does not use that language, although it does use language that could be construed that way when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Aye.
Now, that actually is a more that's the first line of one of the Psalms. It's a messianic psalm, and Jesus is applying it to himself. So he expected people to recognize the psalm, and the psalm ends with him declaring that God will ultimately vindicate him. So the abandonment is only apparent.
Yeah.
It's not real. And it couldn't literally happen because, number one, God has no back to turn,
yeah.
even though he did with Moses.
Yeah.
That was a theophany, not a literal back.
Right.
And also, the Father and the Son are united in perfect holiness, and it would be unjust for a just God to turn his back on an innocent person in that way.
Can I throw a third one in there, maybe?
Sure.
Jesus is God.
Well, that's true, but the term God, as contrasted to Jesus, normally means the Father.
Yeah, I gotcha. We're right back with more Catholic Answers Game Show.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show. Is that Assistant Producer Maria I just heard? That sounded like her. Jimmy Akin, how are we doing?
Doing okay.
Enjoying the game show so far?
Oh, yeah, and very much so. And, you know, this is like the seventh hour of recording that you and I have done this week.
I know. This has been a good week for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We recorded
a secret
audio set, what no one knows about yet.
Yeah.
And
top secret, Jimmy.
Very mysterious set. Yeah. And
very mysterious.
We did a couple of shows yesterday. We did a pre-record for next week, and we're doing the game show now.
Man, I hadn't added that all up. Well, I get some rest then this weekend, Jimmy.
You too.
Recover from your time.
And pre-cover for your upcoming trip.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm going to San Francisco next week. Be up in Larkspur at St. Patrick's Parish on Tuesday Monday next week.
Got to do some show prep for that.
Right, exactly. Valerie, you're on your second question of round two. You ready, Valerie?
Yes.
All right, in whose letter do we find this sentence? Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Is that the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John? I'll do it again. In whose letter do we find this sentence? Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Is that Peter, Paul, or John?
This is a wild guess. I really don't know this one.
Well, you're all out of...
Oh, I'm afraid it's not John. It is, in fact, Paul. This is from his letter to the Ephesians. It's not the first time that he uses the armor of God imagery, though. He used that almost a decade earlier in his letters to the Thessalonians, but it was still on his mind 10 years later when he was first in his first Roman imprisonment and writing to the Ephesians and others.
Okay, your final question of round two, Henry. The Latin phrase Paternoster means our father, chief priest, or little girl get up. I will go once again. The Latin phrase Paternoster means our father, chief priest, or little girl get up.
A, our father.
A, it does. Pater means father in both Latin and Greek, although you say it a little differently. And noster is clearly Latin for our. So, yeah. I'm blanking all of a sudden on – I've noticed –
Talitha?
Oh. Well, no. Talitha Kumi is Aramaic for little girl, I say to you, arise, or less euphoniously, little girl, get up.
I'm not a fancy pants. I'm having a little low brow. Okay, I'm a little low brow.
I was going to say is I notice oftentimes when I'm reaching for a word or phrase in one language, I'll grab it from a different language if I'm having a block. And I'm having a block on the Latin word – on the Latin – phrase on the Latin for high priest. I want to say it in Greek, archieros, but blank in something sacerdos.
There's a Latin scholar right there. Tell us what, how do you say?
Sumus sacerdos. There we go.
Sumus sacerdos. All right. Well, we can't hear him very well, but that's Father Hugh Barber. He's visiting in the studio, and he saved us, saved our bacon.
Thank you.
So the final question for you, Valerie. Selling spiritual goods is called A, schism, B, simony, or C, indulgences. Valerie, again, let me give it to you again.
Again, I say to you.
I don't know. I just became very
elevated
Messiah.
Register.
Yeah. Well, see, I was lowbrow on the last question. I tried to go highbrow on this one. Selling spiritual goods is called schism, simony, or indulgences?
Schism.
Oh, I'm afraid not. Schism is a separation from the church. Schism is another word for a separation or a cut. And in schism, people separate themselves from either the Roman pontiff or those in communion with the Roman pontiff. The answer that I was looking for here is simony or simony, which is named after Simon Magus, who was a Samaritan magician that the apostles encounter in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria, where he attempts to purchase from the apostles the ability to confer the Holy Spirit on people, apparently as part of the sacrament of confirmation. And so he saw the apostles confirming people and them receiving the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be able to do that too, and so he offered to buy it from them, and that was a mistake. And so if you want to read more about that, check out Acts chapter 8.
Valerie, thank you very much. Henry, thank you very much. We have completed two rounds, and Henry is the victor. Congratulations, Henry.
Thank you.
But thank you to Valerie for playing as well. She did a good job, especially for someone who's only been Catholic 3 years.
I know she's been Catholic 3 years,
yeah.
And I gave her these. All right, so I got a couple books for you, Valerie, to say thank you for playing. I want to send you Jimmy Akin's book. This is his newest book, Teaching with Authority, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says, and or an earlier book, very popular book from Jimmy, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. Valerie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks,
really,
Valerie.
Appreciate it.
Really hope you enjoy the books.
Sure. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. You had about the most interesting biography of anyone we've had on this show. So thank you very much. And now you don't have to face our poor friend Henry has to face. Henry, it's time for your final judgment. No.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, that's what I was waiting for, Henry. Some kind of reaction. Dun, dun, dun. Are you ready to face final judgment, Henry?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
With God's grace.
Wow. This guy is ready. All right, let me explain.
Well, God may be merciful, but Cy is not going to be.
I can be merciful sometimes. That's my middle name is Ming.
Oh, what a flash. I never knew that.
Oh, that's Jimmy. You know, that, if you don't know anything about
Flash Gordon's Flash Gordon, main big bad, Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless, then that wouldn't have meant anything to you. All right, final judgment works this way. If you don't pass final judgment, you go directly to – well, that's not actually how it works. We're going to give you 7 questions. Each question is a true or false question. For each question that you get correct, you get a book from Catholic Answers. If you, by some miracle, get all 7 correct, then you get an additional $50 to spend at shop.catholic.com. Are you ready to start your final judgment?
Yes, I could use a little miracle.
All right. Very good. Maybe you want to get your wake your guardian angel up. But you definitely don't want to face final judgment without your guardian angel. Henry, true or false? Mary never used the word father to describe Joseph's relationship to Jesus. True or false, Henry? Mary never used the word father to describe Joseph's relationship to Jesus.
False.
False is correct. Yeah, she does. In Luke chapter 2, during the finding of the temple, when they finally find Jesus after 3 days, she says, "Your father and I have been searching for you."
Did you know that, Henry, or was that a guess?
I knew that.
All right, well.
These are tricky questions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a tricky guy, but my middle name comes from Ming the Merciless.
There's another tricky aspect to this, which cannot yet be revealed, but Henry's doing good.
Henry, you just won, and I didn't even tell you before what you were playing for. You just won, man, you're going to cry when I tell you this. Carlo Broussard's Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. That is already in your win pile, Henry. Congratulations.
Ooh, I like that compound word, win pile.
Question number 2.
I'd rather go to the win pile than the wood pile.
Yes, right. Yeah,
or the woodshed.
Definitely don't want to go to the woodshed. Question number 2, true or false, Henry? True or false, Henry? St. John started to sink after Jesus called him to walk on the water. Is that true or false, Henry? St. John started to sink after Jesus called him to walk on the water.
That is false.
False is correct.
Wait, I thought
Saint
he started
Peter,
to sink.
Peter, not St. Paul.
Oh, man, did I even fool you for even a second there, Henry?
Yeah, almost.
Almost is a polite way of saying no.
Say no. Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines is Tim Staples' much lauded book, and you just won it. Congratulations, Henry.
Ooh, what's he going to play for next? Let's do these prolepts.
Yeah, I know. You think? Okay. This time you're playing for Gary Machuda's book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity. Are you ready to play for it, Henry?
Yes.
Henry, true or false? Catholics believe that because of Adam's sin, humanity lost the ability to choose or to do any good. True or false, Henry? Catholics believe that because of Adam's sin, humanity lost the ability to choose or to do any good.
That is false.
False is correct.
That's Protestant.
Yep. Some Protestants would say something like this. Not all. But Catholics definitely don't. While humanity lost the ability to do any supernatural good based on the virtue of charity or love of God, we retained the ability to choose to do various natural good things. So even Jesus acknowledges to people who are not saved, you can still give good gifts to your children.
Ah, there you go. You just won Hostile Witnesses, Henry. Henry is playing from Lakewood, California. And Henry, you mentioned the marriage group that you're involved in. I have would you tell me again the name of that?
Sure. It's Couples for Christ.
Couples for
Catholic Family Ministry that started in the Philippines.
Yes, I remember. I haven't. And do you – what do you do as Couples for Christ? You it's one-on-one ministry to other couples?
Kind of like that. It's not become a womb-to-tomb ministry, so we have – kids. We have Youth for Christ. We have Singers for Christ. We have Handmaids for the older women and Servants of the Lord. But it's a Catholic family ministry. It strengthens the marriage and thereby strengthening the family and the parish in, by extension.
Ah, it's wonderful, Henry. I just wanted you to get a little plug in for it. Another great gift. You know, the Catholic Church is a sharing of gifts from one community to another, and we have received so many from the Philippines and from Filipino Catholics, and I'm glad you do that, Henry. We have to take a break, and then you will find out we'll all find out if you can pass final judgment right after this, Henry.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I love the show, but I just wanted to call to encourage that previous caller who called about the Latin Mass and just encourage him to keep giving it a try and especially try to meet some folks outdoors and let his wife meet some people, and that does make that experience so much better. And thank you for your historical background, and it was a good interpretation of the history.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Final Judgment on the Catholic Answers game show called Final Judgment. Right now, it's a perfect 3-for-3 for you, Henry, as you face Final Judgment. Again, for each correct question, you win a book from Catholic Answers. And if you get them all right, you take extra $50 home with you. Well, you don't get to take it home with you. Actually, you get to spend it at shop.catholic.com. Henry, your question number 4 of Final Judgment, true or false? True or false, Henry, the phrase love your enemies does not actually appear in the Bible. Henry, true or false, the phrase love your enemies does not actually appear in the Bible.
That is false.
False is correct. It's in Matthew 5:44.
I am realizing that I made all 4 of the first 4 questions false too. I don't know if that. I don't think you're supposed to do that. I think you're supposed to mix it up a little bit. I don't know.
Well, no, actually, a random number generator will
sometimes
generate strings of 4 things in a row that all have the same value, like 4 coin flips.
You're killing me here, Henry. All right, I thought I was at reasonably.
He is a catechist.
Oh, that's right. All right, so you don't even need this book.
No,
you're going to have to give
these negative questions formed in the negative. That's the tricky.
Well, Henry, I'll tell you what. I'll have you write the questions for the next game. Actually, if somebody would write the questions for me, that would be delightful. Nick, you want to try it, Marie? Because it does take a minute. You just won a book that you apparently don't need, but you're going to love. As a matter of fact, sometimes – well – 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist is the subtitle
here that would help.
And these are they're fun. Like you open up to any page. I just open up to page or to day 141. All have sinned, and Jimmy gives a challenge. How can Catholics say Mary was sinless when Scripture teaches clearly that all have sinned? Oh, that's a good challenge to face. And then Jimmy takes one page to give you a very helpful response to that. A daily defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. It's on your win pile. Now that I asked that question, before we end the show, I might have to get an answer.
What's the next book?
The next book is Teaching with Authority. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Jimmy. It's called Teaching with Authority. Mm-hmm. The subtitle is How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Teaches. You might find a book like this helpful.
I might. In fact, I did.
You
That's
did.
Why I wrote it.
It's still helpful to you. As a matter of fact, the more copies that sell, the more helpful it is.
The more helpful it is to me. Yeah.
Question number 5 for you, Henry. True or false? I feel sad about this. I feel like you're going to get all 7, and I tried really hard.
That's not a bad thing.
It is. I don't like people winning stuff from us. True or false, Henry? While medieval Catholics did not believe in applying reason to faith, modern Catholics have been freed to employ both faith and reason. Henry, true or false? While medieval Catholics did not believe in applying reason to faith, modern Catholics have been freed to employ both faith and reason.
That is false.
False is correct. Faith and reason were a big deal in the Middle Ages. Thomas Aquinas talks about how they relate all the time.
Wait, I thought that the entire modern world corrected the blind superstition of the Middle Ages. I was wrong in that impression?
Yeah, he's kind of not fully accurate in that impression.
Really?
Yeah.
So the people thought in the Middle Ages?
They had brains.
There was no universities.
Brains are not that recent at evolutionary
development. They did not have universities like we have now.
Sure they did.
What are you talking about?
They had universities.
It was dark. People couldn't think. They couldn't write. It was all disease-riddled.
No, St. Thomas Aquinas taught at a university.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Would that be the University of Paris?
Yeah, it would. Yeah. And you know why lectures at universities are called lectures?
Why?
Because this was pre-printing press, and so they didn't have books to give everybody, and so the professor would get up and read the text.
Ah.
And so lecture, so you can hear it sounds like lectern.
Yeah.
It's a lecture is a reading. And then once we got books to give to everybody, now it's expected you got to do more than just read the book. You got to tell them additional stuff.
All right. So if people were so smart then in the Middle Ages, why did Christopher Columbus have to prove that the earth wasn't flat?
Yeah, he didn't. Actually, that was proved.
I'm learning so much.
That was proved before the time of Christ in Egypt.
You're saying that's some kind of propaganda?
It's another myth.
All right.
It's not as fun as some of the other myths, you know, like what happened with Osiris after his death, talking about myths from Egypt.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Muppet movie?
Oh, sure.
Where he goes, somebody says something's a myth, and Kermit goes, myth, myth. And then this woman with a lisp comes around the corner and goes, yes?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Can't tell that kind of joke today.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that?
No, not anymore.
Oh.
Everyone's too offended.
Yes, it's easy to get offended. True or false, Henry? This is question number 6, and you're playing for teaching with authority. Or is this – what am I on?
Playing
– He won teaching with authority.
Oh, so what's he
just
playing won
it. Thank you. Oh, so now he's playing with for The Fathers Know Best, Your Essential Guide to the Teachings of the Early Church, written by this guy named Jimmy Akin, with a foreword by Marcus Grodi.
I thought you were going to say with a forked tongue. It's like, I do not use my forked tongue to write.
No, you use that for other things, okay. Jimmy. Yes, Jimmy's very popular book, The Fathers Know Best, Your Essential Guide to the Teachings of the Early Church. True or false, Henry? Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. True or false, Henry? Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
True
is correct, but
that's not in the Gospels.
I was going to say the answer would have been false if the question had been written, Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive in the Gospels.
Because he doesn't say it.
He doesn't say it in the Gospels, but St. Paul reports in the book of Acts that he used to say it frequently. And so this makes it is more blessed to give than to receive one of the agrapha, or the unwritten sayings of Jesus, meaning sayings not written in the Gospels.
So if it wasn't in the Gospels, and St. Paul wasn't a disciple of Jesus who followed him around listening to things, how could St. Paul possibly know this?
Tradition.
Look at that. A little bit. Thank you, Rev Tevye.
Yeah.
Now,
I played the constable in that play. I was the bad guy.
Oh, because it was a pogrom.
I did audition for Tevye, though.
I think you could get it now, Jimmy.
I probably
could. You have improved.
Especially with the beard.
Yes. A little bird, little Havila. I don't know. It's all stuck in my mind now. But okay, so you're
maybe
saying—
maybe one day if I can retire. You know, if I were
a rich man. Yeah. Okay, so I got a long staircase going down here now I got to get to. So you're saying there are sayings of Jesus that were remembered by the tradition of the church, were not written down in a gospel, and Paul referred to that tradition in quoting Jesus.
Correct. Yes. And this is because it's in Acts, it's in inspired scripture, and therefore we know this agraphon, that's the singular, is authentic. Other agrapha are – we have different levels of confidence in, but this one's authentic for sure.
Okay. So there's other things that came – because it's in scripture. You go, yeah. Oh, definitely Jesus said it.
Yeah, unless you like don't buy scripture or something.
I don't buy scripture. I get it for free because I work at Catholic Answers.
Okay.
Okay. Look, if you get this one correct, you got all seven.
And the $50.
You get the $50.
To Cy's chagrin.
And the last book, oh, I love this book. It's a very good book. It's called Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. It's a beautiful book about what it means to be a human being and how to live like a human being. I just love it. So I hope you win it.
Good. Two of those I have yet, so good.
Okay. True or false, Henry? Mr. I haven't missed a question yet. True or false, marriage is the only sacrament called a sacrament of service. True or false, Henry, marriage is the only sacrament called a sacrament of service.
I would say that's false.
False is correct. Holy orders is also a sacrament of service.
Man, Henry, are you looking for a job? We might have some openings here at Catholic Answers. I don't know.
Host, for example?
No.
I mean,
no, Henry. You cannot be a radio host here. Congratulations.
I don't have a voice. Thank you.
You do. Oh, you have a very nice voice. Plus, Nick does this thing called mic processing. He can make you sound good. Inseparable, you won that one. The Fathers Know Best, you won that one. Teaching with Authority, you won that one. A Daily Defense, you won that one. Hostile Witnesses, you won that one. Behold Your Mother, you won that one. Prepare the Way, you won that one. Hard Sayings, no, you didn't win that one, Henry, because that wasn't up for you.
You know, you're so confident in delivering those book titles. It's almost like you had a stack in front of you.
Yeah, I know. And you also
a win pile in front of you.
A win pile. This is your win pile, man. And you also get the $50 to spend at shop.catholic.com. Congratulations, Henry. I wish there was some cheering.
There you go.
Does that make you feel better, Henry?
Yes, after the cue, yes. Thank you.
All right. So, Henry, listen, I got one other thing. We're thinking about someday, later in the year, possibly doing a show where we bring the champions back. Tournament O' Champions. And that would be all the people who I don't know if we'll do all the people who won or all the people who got a perfect score. Because he's the third person now to get a perfect score.
Awesome.
So that's not – you know, we do this a lot, and you're only the third person to do that, Henry. So we might be calling you again.
Cool. I look forward to it.
Then he could win even more.
You win even more stuffs.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Henry. Thank you. Look,
thanks for being on the show, Henry.
Thanks. Bye, Henry. I feel bad. I asked the question from A Daily Defense. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How can you say Mary is sinless? I asked the question. I never gave you a chance to answer it.
Well.
Would you mind?
No.
Wait a second. Now I got that all confused. Would you mind answering the question? Did I say would you mind answering the question or would you answer the question? Which did you say
yes.
No to? Ah, come on. Jimmy, please answer the following
Who's
question.
Who's on first?
if Paul says – all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How can you Catholics say Mary is sinless?
So there are a few things to be aware of. One of them is that the Bible, like other forms of human expression, human language, sometimes uses literary devices like hyperbole or exaggeration to make a point. If it were true that literally all have sinned, all persons have sinned, then Jesus would have sinned.
Oh, that's a good
point. So we know that Jesus, the second Adam, is an exception to what Paul is saying.
Right.
Well, if the second Adam can be an exception, then maybe Mary, the second Eve, can also be an exception. Then – so that opens the door to the logical possibility of Mary being an exception. But then we need to go further and say what is the if we take a close look at this text, if we do what's called an exegesis on it, try to understand its meaning, what is Paul actually saying here? Well, if you look in this passage in Romans, Paul is concatenating or stitching together a bunch of Old Testament quotations about human sinfulness. But the thing is, when you go back to each of those Old Testament passages that he's drawing from, you find they're actually contrast texts that contrast the behavior of the wicked with the righteous.
I see.
And so he's cherry-picking to communicate the fact that all kinds of people, all kinds of men, Jews and Gentiles, this is his main point, are sinful and in need of redemption by Christ. But he's not making a statement about are there individuals who haven't sinned. Later in Romans, he talks about a time when babies are in the womb before they've done anything bad.
Oh, so, and they're persons.
Yeah.
Jimmy Akin, I had, out of my entire week, I had 7 great hours.
Me too.
And a lot of really good hours.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks
and most of them were with you.
Yes, and then how will... That mystery project will be coming out that we recorded.
Yeah.
But
the mystery project.
How would you know about it?
Like, you'll be getting a letter in the mail. It's going to be appearing on the website, and you'll be hearing about it here on Catholic Answers Live.
We'll see you next time, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.